surrender all to you, my blessed Savior. Oh God, Father, in the name of Jesus, we surrender all to you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for who you are. We give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. God bless the saints today. Amen. Good afternoon, 3Ps. Saints of God, we count it a blessing and a privilege to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. Certainly, this is the day that the Lord has made. And guess what? I choose to rejoice. And be glad, you know, to be glad in it, because God is so good. He is worthy to be praised. You know, I just want to make mention, you know, the Lord has blessed 3Ps with some talented saints of God to be in the house, and we thank God. So, yeah, I don't want to belabor the point, but, you know, we're talking about the turkey distribution. And we know that we live in a multicultural area, right? And so the Lord has blessed where not only is it in English, but it's in Spanish as well. And we have interpreters here. Amen. One of the interpreters is right here, Sister Carolina, and Sister Mireya right here, and Sister Raquel. Look, they got their heads together. And from different backgrounds, Panama, you know, Mexico, you know, Cuba, and trying to put it all together. So this flyer came, and it's in English and in Spanish, and whoever reads it, they'll be able to understand there's going to be some free guajolotes. Pavos gratis, right? So praise God. Thank you all so much. And even Camille in the IT section designing the door knocker. This is what it's going to be looking like. When we go and hang these on the fences. So I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone. Praise God. Yeah, I just get excited when we can do something for the Lord. You know, you heard of a couch potato, right? That's one that sits up and watch TV all the time. Well, a pew potato is a couch potato's brother. And that's a potato just may sit up in the church and do nothing, see? But here at 3Ps, we don't sit and do nothing. We're about our Father's business. Hallelujah. We're about letting the world know how great our God is, and that all will see how great is our God. You know, there's so much hunger, so much poverty, so much pain. And whatever we do, we can't fix the situations, but it may just be a drop in the bucket, but it's a drop in the bucket. It's doing something. I remember Martin Luther King said something many years ago. You can't help somebody without helping yourself in the process. Right. See, because God sees who we are. He know who we are. He know that we're trying to do that which he has called us to do. And to me, it's a blessing to be used of God. You mean the God of the universe, the God who spoke in the universe, spoke the universe, came into existence? He'll use little old me from Oak Mug, Oklahoma, just to do something in the kingdom of God. Woo, I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So I'm at a place in my life, I don't take nothing for granted. The very breath that we breathe, the bed that we lay on, the food that we eat. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. So many people are without. So many people are going through. We look at the chaos around the world. That could easily be right here. Yes, yes. And who knows, it might be one day. Right. But right now, we're able to come to the house of the Lord under our own volition. Yes. To come into the house of the Lord and to fellowship with one another and to give God glory and to give God praise. We have something to be thankful for. Amen. If you just start thinking about it, you start thinking about how good God has been to you, you mess around and get your happy feet going. You know, you get to doing that penguin dance and the chicken crow, you know, say, woo, God has been just that good to me. Yes. See, I'll never forget what the Lord has done for me, where he's brought me from. Yes. You know, I could spend all day just talking about things I can remember that God has done in my life. And even before I came to know him, because I didn't know until he changed me and I was able to look back. God, that was you who protected me. That was you who blessed me. Yes. It's you who didn't allow the gun to go off. It's you, God. And for that, I give him praise. Amen. So today, I want to talk about just to choose the right way. You know, that don't that sound so simple? Don't it sound so basic? Don't it sound like it's just so easy? But you know what? I don't think it's always easy to choose the right way. But God wants us to choose, and we're going to look at some scriptures here today. He wants us to choose the right way. Why? Because he wants us to be blessed. He wants us to bring glory to his name. He wants us to let the world know how great he is. And so, you know, we're living in that time where, you know, choose or choice, you know, those words where people can make their own decisions, right? We talk about school choice, for instance, where parents can choose or would like to be able to choose what school their child go to. But whatever you choose, you need to choose the right way. See, we're talking about a woman's right to choose, right? Choose the right way. We talk about, you know, people say, well, I choose to be a man today and a woman tomorrow. Well, you know, God has given us volition. He's given us free will to choose to do whatever we want to do, but whatever we need to do, whatever we need to choose the right way. Because, see, we're going to see that there's some trouble when we don't choose to go the right way. You know, we just came back from the prison last Saturday. There's a whole lot of men there would probably wish they had another opportunity to choose to do the right thing, and they wouldn't be behind those bars walking that track in the same old dorm year after year after year, being searched every day. Concrete beds. You know, there were some who went into the solitary area, and there were some men in there hungry, they tell me, to hear the gospel. Some men that were secluded to where every hour they go by with a little checker, and they got a way of checking to see if the inmate is still alive. Mm-hmm. Choice. Choose the right way. You know, I was saying, well, let me see what. Just, you know, you have to kind of look at Webster sometime. Okay, we know what it means to choose, right? We know what's right. We know what a way is, right? But it helps to look at these things sometimes. And sometimes it's interesting what the definitions are. Yes. Choose, right? To select freely and after consideration. All right. We need to consider what we do.
Yeah.
You know, because, listen, I'm just going to be the first to give y'all the news flash. I didn't always consider my actions. I was impulsive from a baby. What come up comes out, you know. But I'm learning and learning as a time going, you know, to choose. I can freely choose after consideration, count up the cost, right? Choose the right way. What is right? It reminds me of Micah 6 and 8. And what does the Lord require? That you do what? Justly. That you love mercy. And that you walk humbly before your God. To do justly means to do what's right. To do what's right. I looked at the little three-letter word, way. A course, right? Such as a series of actions or sequence or of events leading in a direction toward an objective. Right. What should be our objective as saints of God? It's to live for God. It's to give God the glory beyond any praise, to be able to brighten the corners where we are, to be that light that's set up on the hill, to be that ambassador for Christ, to let somebody know there is a right way. Just as there's a right way, what is it? There's a wrong way. And God lets us know that. So the scripture is coming, the message is coming from two verses, Matthew 7, 13 through 14. And see, this is the right toward the culmination of the Sermon on the Mount, which started in Matthew 5. And Jesus taught the people so many things concerning kingdom living. And as Pastor Jones said, wherever there's a kingdom, there's a king. Jesus, the king, is now on the scene, and he's letting people know that there's a way they can live. He taught them about the Beatitudes, the attitude to be in. told them what it means to be blessed of the Lord. He talked to them about teaching about, you know, remember salt and light. You're the salt of the earth and, you know, and so forth. He went on and just so about looking at head. He's teaching. He taught about the law. He taught about being angry, you know. And I'm sure a lot of folks say, ooch. Is he, have you ever been in church and thought the preacher was talking straight to you? You know, he's like, and you. You know, I know I've been there. I'm like, wait a minute. What's going on here? Jesus taught about adultery. He taught about teaching, giving to the needy. You know, he talked about teaching. He was teaching about prayer and fasting. He was letting the people know it's not about a whole bunch of rules and regulations, but he was teaching the multitude of thousands of people about kingdom living. Yes. That right way that will cause you to be blessed. And we're going to look at some scriptures today. And even as it came up, he talked about prayer and how to have an effective prayer life. And so this God we serve, he wants us to get it. He wants us to understand who he is. So as Jesus did all this teaching that he talked about, not judging other folks, lest you be judged. Well, we make judgments every day, but we should make righteous judgments. You know, considering ourselves, right? That would be, you know, what I'm judging you with, can I stand the same judgment back toward me? It's easy to pick the flies off of other folks. But what about me when I look in the mirror? He talked to the folks about the golden rule. You know, now, people today done changed the golden rule a little bit. You know, the golden rule is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Some folks today say, well, he who makes the gold makes the rules, you know. But it's God who makes the rules. And so it brings us to our scripture in Matthew 7:13. You can enter God's kingdom. Let me switch back over here to New King James Version. That's where I'm coming from today. It says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. That's sad now if you think about what he's saying. Because narrow is the gate. And difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are a few who find it. Now, that's interesting. That's a mouthful with itself. Because first of all, it's a fallacy to believe that when we come to Christ, that there's no more suffering. That all of our trials and our troubles will be poofed away. It's a struggling way. You know, it's sometimes it's not easy to trust God. Hello, I'm maybe just talking about me now. Sometimes it's hard to walk in faith when you're facing look like unsurmountable issues and situations and health things. But he said, enter by the narrow gate. After all of the teaching on the Sermon of the Mount, he's bringing it home to the folks. You know, and I heard, Vernon McGee, I mean, when I first heard that man like 30, 40 years ago, I say, I can't be listening to this country man. He sound like he right, but the man would always teach the word of God. And he was saying that this passage here, it reminds him, it's not so much of down on Broadway, the bright lights of the big city and all that, or just a little road going to the church on the top of the hill. But he said, these verses to him is like a funnel. You know, you picture a funnel that's big at the top and little at the bottom. So enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. So at the top of that funnel, you just dump stuff in there. Just whatever it is you dump it, or in this case, people, but it sure get real tight at the bottom. Life starts taking its toll. But that narrow end of that funnel, it's where Jesus is standing. He says a narrow way. It's gonna take you to choose to follow me and to trust me. And as we enter into that little narrow gate, that little narrow area, then he began to open up the panoply of scripture to us and the blessings to us. And we begin to see that there's light at the end of the tunnel, and oh, few will find it, but it's there. Yeah, right. He wants us to choose the right way. And so when I look at this, I'm like, man, there's going to be some challenges. Somebody will tell you, what is the use of you aligning yourself with this man named Jesus? You know what? You know, you need to live, drink, eat, and be merry now, because tomorrow you die. Well, if that's what it all is about, we in trouble anyway. Because I went to the gas station the other day and bought some eggs the other day. So you know, whatever you eat, drink, and be merry meant at some time ago, don't mean the same thing now. Eat a little bit. drink a little bit, be merry for a little while. No, but we have hope in Christ Jesus. And I thank God that I'm not in this battle by myself. When the load get heavy on me, when the going get tough, when the road is rough, I have a Savior. I have the Lord Jesus on my side, who told me, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Don't you know that is confident? You might be the man of the house. You may be the priest of your house, of your home. But the Lord wants us to say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I'm trusting you. And it takes the pressure off. And we can believe God for our victory, for the deliverance that he'll send our way. So choose the right way. So I chose a few scriptures to prove the point, or to bring out the point, or to put something on our mind that will continually cause us to want to choose the right way. Because there's so much wrong stuff out there, and it's like a magnet. The enemy have a magnet to want to try to pull us to the wrong thing, to go the wrong way, you know. I had to learn to humble myself driving cross country with my wife. You going the wrong way? No, I ain't. I know where I'm going. No, you don't. So it's liberating when they get to the point and say, you know what, baby? I'm lost. You're right. Oh, thank you. Now we can find our way. You're speaking of that. I'm going to finish this up. But I remember when Sandy and I had our first car with cruise control in it. Had just bought the thing, a 79 Cadillac Coupe de Ville, and we go to make a cross-country trip. She's reading instructions, and I'm driving, and we're going up Cajon Pass. And so, I thought I know stuff, so I hit this button, and the car started going faster and faster. She said, what are you doing? I said, I don't know. She said, well, hit the brakes. But I learned to do it the right way, you know. Anybody in here still learning the right way? Yes. See, it's hard to unlearn the wrong way because it gets etched in our mind. We talk about muscle memory on the golf course. There's muscle memory in our brain and in our spirit to where it's so easy to get angry. It's so easy to lash out. It's so easy to get in a depressed mode. But there's a right way that God wants us to deal with situations. For instance, Proverbs 16 and 25. It says, there is a way. There's the word again. There is a way that seems right to man. Ooh, it seems like it, don't it? Have you ever done something you thought was right and say, uh-oh. That was not right, right? There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the ways of death. That's a powerful verse of scripture in the book of wisdom in Proverbs. And it reminds me, I believe, Judges chapter 21, verse 25 is the last verse in the book of Judges. And you know what it says? It said that all the people, there wasn't a king in those days, and all the people did what was right in their own eyes. Oh my God. You're talking about a mess. But you're talking about kind of where we are in society today. Everybody's doing, have people talking about, no, you may have your truth, but I got mine. You may say this is right, but I say this is right. How do we know what's right? The Word of God. The Word of God is what's going to show us what is right. See, so there is a way that seems. Anybody in here just want to do right? And even when you want to do right, evil is always present. What you find yourself wanting to do, you don't do. And what you don't want to do, sometimes you find yourself gravitating to that. But when we give it to Jesus and let the Lord know, God, I want to go the right way. When the pressure's on, God, I want to make the right decisions. See, over and thank God for Brother Mark this morning reading the scripture. Brother Chuck is up here singing, and he said, wait a minute. Isaiah said, what? God's word is where the answer is. So verse 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways, nor are your ways my ways, says who? Saith the Lord. Oh, man. That's a hallelujah right there. That's a reality check right there. Because, see, I have some thoughts now. Anybody know sometimes you need to keep your thoughts to yourself? And you need to tell your face and your eyes, keep your thoughts to yourself. Because you may not say something, but you know, your eyes are doing this and kind of nose tightened up, you know. But God said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And he expounds on that. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, the stars, the moon, the galaxies. For as the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. We're talking about choosing the right way. God is putting it on record. My ways are so much higher than your ways. And he said, and my thoughts so much higher than your thoughts. Because sometime we can have stinking thinking. Sometime we can get so impulsive on the spur of the moment. We have already taken 10 steps forward in the Lord. And in a split second, we take about 35 backwards because we decided to do it our way. All right. But we need to choose the right way. Amen. See, Moses, that man of God, as he was reiterating the covenant to God's people, before it was time for him to leave the scene, as Joshua is getting ready to take the mantle and take the people over, Moses, just one little verse out of two chapters where he was reiterating the covenant with the people. See, it's important for us to remember what we've said to God. Have anybody ever said, you know what, God, you're getting me out of this mess. I'm going to be in church every Sunday. Lord, if you put my wife and I back together, I'm never going to drink again. And we just go down the line. Get me a new dishwasher. I'm going to wash dishes every day, whatever it may be. You know, do we remember the covenants that we make with God from our hearts? You know, or when now the load is lightened a little bit, do we get amnesia? See? Are we putting God to the test of where, you know, I get in the dumps again, he'll be there. Or is there something inside of me saying, you know, I just want to do right. I just want to make the right decision. I want to please God. So as Moses, he said, as he had laid out what the covenant relationship between God and the Israelites were, he says in verse 19 of Deuteronomy 30, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you. Heaven and earth, the host of the galaxies. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before. Listen to what he's saying now. Because, see, to follow Christ, it takes commitment. To want to have a changed life, it takes a commitment. Right. To want to grow in the Lord takes commitment. To see yourself doing more in the kingdom of God and being used by God, it takes commitment. It takes something on the order of, for God I'll live, for God I'll die. Hallelujah. Swim, sink, or drown, I'm on the Lord's side. He said, I call on heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Here it is, life, death, cursings, blessings. And so he says, so therefore, choose life. Do this sound like somebody who loved the people? Do this sound like somebody who loved God? Does it sound like somebody who knows what the consequences are when you don't choose the right way? When God places a burden upon you to share with somebody something that will help them, all you're doing is saying, choose life. All you're saying, do you want to be cursed or do you want to be blessed? Yes. He says, so therefore choose life. Why? That both you and your descendants will live. We're living legacies here. There's generations that's watching us. There's those who want to know, why is mom and daddy praying all the time? Because they've chosen the right way. Hallelujah. Mom and daddy understand that there's some things that they can't figure out. There's some things that's happening in this world that they don't have the answer to. But they know the one who has all of the answers. So choose life, he says. Over in John 14, when Jesus was dealing with Thomas, and he was letting them know, he was letting all the people know, letting the disciples know, he said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, if you believe in God, believe also in me, right? For he said, for in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. You know, do we believe God? Do we believe today here in this hour that God has prepared a place for those who love him? Do we believe today that if we were to die today, we step into his presence? Do we believe today that if that loved one who passed away here recently had a relationship with God, that they're no longer in, just there, they are in God's presence and glory, glory, hallelujah, since I've laid my burden down. God wants us to get it. He wants us to understand. And so he told them, I'm going to prepare a place. Come on, follow me. Said, we don't know where you're going. So in verse 6, 4, he says, and where I go and the way you know, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? That's legit. He was being real. I don't get it. I don't understand where you're going, man. We followed you to Galilee. We followed you to Jerusalem. We've seen you go through Samaria. Where you going now? He said, I'm going in my Father's house or many mansions. And so when he said, we don't know where you're going and how can we know the way, that monumental statement, Jesus said, I am the way. How many know that today? He said, I am the way. Yeah. Not only that, he said, I am the truth. Right. See, some people spend their whole life trying to find truth. Well, is this true? Is that true? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Any question we have, God has an answer for it. We don't have to listen to Mr. Mojo over here, or Sister Who Did It over there. Let's get in the Word of God. Let's get up on our, down on our knees. Let's get in the house of the Lord and understand and hear the way that God wants us to go. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. That's pretty deep. Somebody who don't know any better would say, that's pretty selfish. What about all these other religions? But you got to remember that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus Christ is God, the creator of all things, and who designed man to have a relationship with him, and man have lost it going the wrong way, trying to build their own God. But Jesus have paid it all. Man, thank you, God. Choose the right way. I was looking at Matthew 7 a little bit further down. The question has to be, what do we do with all the data that we've been given? What do we do with the information that's been downloaded to us or that we've heard? We heard that this God is able to do anything. We heard that he will supply all of your needs. All right. We heard, we read that he's a present help in trouble. We found out that he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God who heals us of all manner of sickness and disease, that he'll be with you through the fire. He'll be with you through the flood. But what do we do with all this information? Is it just information, data, like a computer? Or is it something that we can take to heart and watch God work in our midst? So in Matthew 7:24, he said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, whoever hears the word of God, who has ever experienced the glory of God, you've been in a place and you've seen God move in your life or in the life of someone else, what do you do with it all? See, I don't want to get so heavenly minded I'm no earthly good. I don't want to just be Jesus all the time out of my mouth and I'm not doing anything for the Lord. There's no change in my life. Do you know I thank God for when he chastised me? Hallelujah. I say, thank you. Yes. Now listen, I never said that to my mother when she was whooping us. It wasn't chastising, it was whooping us. And she didn't say, you know, come here, and she, you know, tighten us up. And I said, thank you, mommy. It was like, whoa, is she gonna kill me? But as time went on, it was later on and years passed. I said, mama, thank you. Because you love me that much to correct me. And my mind began to flash for things that I put her through. She should never have gone through because I chose the wrong way. But she was able, before she closed her eyes for the last time, to see that her boy, little Reggie, to start trying to do things the right way. And I believe it took pressure off of her on her bed of affliction. It said, therefore, whoever hear these sayings of mine, oh God, thank you. Thank you, God. We know faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Therefore, whoever hears these sins of mine, and listen, here we go, and does them. Whoever hears these sins of mine and do them. I don't want to just be a hearer of the word. I want to be a doer of God's word. And listen to what he says. I will liken him or her to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended. How many know the rain is coming? I'm not talking about El Nino. I'm talking about the rains of life. Mm-hmm. Those cloudy times when those nimbostratus clouds manifest in our lives. And the sun is obscured at high noon. He said, I would liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock and the rain descended. I'm going to let you know, saints, the rain is going to come. He said, and then not only did the rains come, but the rains brought the floods came. He said, and the winds blew. Is there anybody in a struggle? Have anybody been in a struggle? Have you been in a place where you had to steady yourself because the winds of discomfort and the winds of trials and persecution is blowing every which way? He said, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall. Ooh, hallelujah. Y'all remember the winds we had the other day? Those big old giant tall palm trees was doing just like that. But they were bending, but they didn't break. Somebody here today, we need to understand that we can bend, but we're not going to break. Because we're leaning on the everlasting arm. Thank you, God. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. Why? Because it was founded upon a rock, and that rock is Christ Jesus. He's that rock that will never give way. Thank you, God. He said, but, see, just like Moses, life, death, blessings, cursing, choose. Here, Jesus really is reiterating that when he said in this parable, and he said, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, that's an indictment. That is a call to understand that. That's like, hey, hello, you know, because I don't want to just hear God's word and don't do nothing. I don't want to hear God's word and don't apply God's word. God, help me to apply your word in this situation. There's a testimony in the house. May we hear it one day. Because Sister Evangelist Dolores has been working with some little bitty kids on a job who ain't been able to talk and autistic real bad, autistic really bad. But I'm told that one of them gave not only a word the other day, but a sentence. Wow. Told his daddy I needed something. Woo. Thank you, God. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the same rain descended, and the same flood came, and the same winds blew and beat on that house that was not built on a sure foundation. And what happened? It fell. And great was his fall. That person didn't choose the right way. There was a blueprint to follow. There was some specs to be acknowledged. There's a cornerstone to be put in place. But when we don't do that, we're building our house on sand. So I want to admonish the saints today to choose the right way. Because you're going to be talked about, going to be abused and accused, going to be lied on, going to be disrespected, may be abandoned. Your name may be put on the superhighway. The road may get rough to where the money is down low and the change is strange and sickness and all of this can come, but when you're built on a rock, you can take the right way, and we'll see the glory of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. So that's what I want to share with you all today. Choose the right way. It's great when everything is fine. Everything's coming up roses. Everything is peaches and cream. Butter pecan for me. But then here come the broccoli and the asparagus. Now, some of y'all may say, that's real good to me. But most of us said, ew. But the thing is, it's good for you, right? It may not be good to us, but it's good for us, just like castor oil. They used to hold our nose, get the spoon, and drop the castor oil down our throat, and he'll say, suck on this mint. But we was here healthy. You know, cod liver oil. What kid want to take some cod liver oil, not a pill, but a teaspoonful of it? Now, some of y'all, nobody here is probably older than me or close, They had some stuff they called Dr. Drake and some stuff called Three Sixes, Black Draw. My grandfather used to make coal oil candy. You know the oil in the lamp? He would take it and mix it with sugar. And if you had a bad cold and your nose was stuffed up, he say, suck on this. And in just a few minutes, all that phlegm comes up. The word of God will bring it all up. The word of God will set the captive free. The word of God will heal the sin-sick soul. The word of God will put broken relationships back together. The word of God is true. Every word of God is true. And if we stand on it, we'll see the glory of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless y'all. That's all I have for you today. Praise the Lord. Amen. And when you choose the right way, stay in it. Because when you know, I said I was done, right? This is three. But when you know, when you know you've made a change for the better, when you know you've taken the right way and it's producing fruit in your life, don't let nothing or nobody turn you around. Sing that song, ain't nobody gonna turn me around. My heart is fixed, my mind is made up, and I'm going all the way with Jesus. Now I'm done for sure. God bless you. It's time for communion. This is First Sunday. This is Family Day. Amen. Those who are ministering in the communion, would you come on up at this time?